Well, first of all, I want to echo what Barbara said. I wish everyone a happy Father's Day. It's a very special day. It was good to see my youngest daughter come in from Babylon, and her husband and children, our two grandchildren. So I'm delighted this morning, and I hope you are too. Do you ever notice when kids argue back and forth about whose father is stronger, whose father is smarter? I remember when I was in school, we did that. You know, it said some crazy things like, just one-upmanship against your fellow classmate. Well, there were these two kids in school, and they were going back and forth, and, my father's stronger, my father's better. So it was a rich kid and a poor kid. So the rich kid said, "Oh, yeah? My father has a chair that goes back to Louis XIV. And the poor kid says, "Yeah, my father has a couch that's going back to Sears on the 15th. There. Well, anyhow, I want to share a little, a beautiful moment in time that I had this past Thursday. I've had this landscaper for as long as I've owned the house in Belport Village. His name is Abel. In fact, we were praying for his mom not too long ago, who went home to be with the Lord. He's a very devout Christian man who came here as a very poor individual from Guatemala and, scratched his way through life to build a business to support his family. And I noticed he was all excited. He was on my neighbor's lawn across the street, and he was on this rider mower. He comes flying across the street, shut it down, the mower, and he says, "I got to share something with you." And I said, "You look like you're so excited, Abel." And he says, "My daughter was accepted to Harvard." Isn't that an amazing story? I mean, just, it's so awesome. He was just beaming with pride that this man who came with nothing was able to build up something and to see a daughter accepted to pre-med at Harvard University. Just an amazing story, and I get the chills just sharing that story, and I could see Abel's face, just beaming with pride. In fact, his daughter said, "Dad, I'll go to Stony Brook. I was accepted there as well. It's cheaper," and he says, "I cut more grass. You go to Harvard." And I thought that was a beautiful illustration of a dad. And so I want to share a little bit this morning on the parable of the prodigal son, but I think it really describes what a father should be. And this dad's son didn't go off to Harvard. Okay, he went off to the far country. And we all know the story. In fact, I'm not even going to rehash it because all of you know the story of the prodigal son. In fact, I've met people who are not people of faith who know nothing about the Bible, but they'll know the story about the prodigal son. Because that parable has become part of the DNA of many cultures around the world. But I would like to glean a few things from this story that I think is very significant, I believe, on this Father's Day. And exactly, I believe, the impact that this father had on his boys. The first thing is that I noticed is that he provided for his children. And I know that's a no-brainer, but Jesus said there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." And so he divided up his property between the two boys. And he gave them their inheritance even before he died. Well, we've all heard the term deadbeat dads, right? These are people, men who father children and they don't provide. And I know there's no such person like that in church here today, but they're out there, and I think most of us would agree that being a deadbeat dad is really a terrible behavior on the part of a father. However, in this text, it is exemplified that we could glean right off the start that this father is a provider for his children. And that's a good reminder to all of us dads. And then I noticed that this father, or a parent, doesn't necessarily have to be a father, allows a child to grow up and make decisions on their own. Leaves a little room for this child to make a cognitive decision on a certain way they're going to proceed in their lives. And so in verse 13, it says, not long after that he gave this kid all this money. Just think about it. Dad gave this kid his ATM card. And it says, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off to the distant country, and he squandered his wealth in wild living. Okay, so he leaves the estate of his father, and he goes to Las Vegas. And he just blows his money. You know, there comes a time in a person's life when he or she will have to leave the security of one's home, right, under the umbrella of mom and dad, and venture out and explore the world on one's own. And like Bobby, like you said to Sasha, we're never really alone, right? We have our parents, we have the church, but there is a time when we leave the covering of our parents and we go out into the world. And the world sometimes could be rough. Our duty as parents is to prepare them for that moment. When that time arrives, when they have to step out and go out into the craziness of the world in which we live. And we need to prepare them the best we can. And that's why in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the writer says, train up your son or daughter in the right way they're to enter the world. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. And so we see that this father definitely instilled in his sons, the right way to live, but this one boy chose not to head in that direction. Now, one of the most difficult parts of being a parent is to allow our children to experience the natural consequences of their decision making. Did you catch that? To actually sit back, hold your breath, and let them go out there and make those decisions. And so in verse 14, it says, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. This is the boy who went out to the far country. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country, which means he left a Jewish environment and went to a non-Jewish environment where he asked someone for a job. And where this guy sends him, he sends him to the pigsty to feed the pigs. This kid was so hungry that he longed for the pods that he was feeding those pigs. And I think we already know this. No Jewish boy wants to be around a pigsty, right? Pork, Judaism, and so forth. Now, the father in this account didn't intervene in the natural consequences of his son's behavior. And I want to tell you, that's so hard to do as a mom and dad. I know that from my own experience. We want to step in. We want to wipe their nose. We want to clean up their mess. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. We want to step in. We won't allow them to venture that extra step where they're going to learn something about the reality of life because we're fearful and we just prematurely step in and try to correct something before the plane crash. But when one experiences the consequences of poor choices and bad behavior, hopefully out of those choices that these kids make, they will be motivated the next time to make the right decision in their life. They'll say, you know what? That hurt. I was suspended in school for doing that. So guess what? I better not do that again. We also witness in the account of this father who made it easy for his son to come to him. I love that. Regardless of this kid's poor choice, he created an environment where this boy was able to come back to his dad. And so in verse 17 following, we see this kid, it says he came to his senses, realizing the mess up that he made and the poor choices and decisions that he made. This is a handicap of being Italian. You just knock a lot of things over. You know, the kid comes back, he doesn't scold him, you know, the kid, we've got to create an environment where our children could come to us and feel as if we're going to direct them the right way rather than them going to friends or somebody else that may misdirect them in the wrong direction. And so it's important to create that atmosphere that, you know what, I could go to mom and dad. I don't have to be afraid. Yeah, they may be disappointed. They may even be angry. But I could trust that I could go to them. And I won't be put down and made to feel small. And then it's so important to see that when this son did return home, listen to this, friends. The father was willing to forgive him. Right? Sometimes you go, do I forgive this kid? Oh, Lord, give me a heart of forgiveness, right? Because in verse 17 says, so this kid got up and he went to his father, and while his father, while this kid was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. That's a sign of affection. I think this kid was expecting a slap instead of a kiss. It's such a beautiful image of a father waiting for his son to return, looking, praying, waiting. And you know, my wife and I do this regularly. We pray for our kids and we pray for our grandkids. We pray for them. Lord, put a hedge of protection around them. Keep them healthy, keep them strong, keep them directed properly, you know, keep them motivated. Now, whether or not that happens, it doesn't matter. But I could tell you that this father, waiting for his son with hope, was praying that his son would come to his senses, and he did. And when his son came to him, humbly and repentant, the father didn't lecture him, didn't scold him. Rather, he embraced him, kissed him, which in the Jewish culture and the Italian culture, when you kiss somebody, it's a sign of affection, a sign of love. It's a sign of care. That's what this kid received when he returned home. And so the father forgave him without even saying, I forgive you, just by his actions. And then this father was able to see the possibilities in his sons, even though they may not have seen the possibilities in their own life. In verse 21, it says, the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring a robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For my son was dead and he's alive. He's lost. He was lost and now he's found. And so they began to celebrate. You see, the robe and the ring was a symbol of status in the time of Jesus. The robe represented the family crest. The ring represented the family name. And the sandals, when you wore sandals, it meant that you were an owner and not a servant. So right there through those actions, the father's saying, hey, don't tell me you're not worthy of being my son. You're my son. And whether we like it or not, we have our sons and daughters. They'll always be our sons and daughters. And they're a gift from God. And this father knew that. He knew that very clearly. This father believed, although his son messed up royally, he still had potential to make a course correction and do something positive with his life. You see, moms and dads always see the great potential in their children. Even when the kids really mess up, there's always that hope to say, you know what, they're going to turn around, they're going to fly right, they're going to do well with their lives. I think that's what we're supposed to do as parents, is to see the potential in our children. Not every kid's going to go to Harvard, like my landscaper's daughter, but every kid's got potential. And I guess it's our job to kind of guide them along life's way to see that potential. You see, this Guatemalan refugee who arrived with just the clothes on his back, literally, and you see all of these people coming across the border and they're dehydrated and their clothes are torn and they have no money and they've just been dumped on the shores of the country. No matter where you fall on the continuum of this immigration problem, these are still people. And I pictured my Guatemalan friend coming across like that many, many years ago with torn clothing and no money in his pockets. And yet he believed there was great potential in his children. And I'm sure he spoke that over their lives. And so his little girl is on her way to Harvard, the daughter of a landscaper. His other daughter graduated with a degree in police science, and she's going into the Suffolk County Police Department. And so these kids have done well. Dad and mom always saw the potential in these girls. And every father wants their child to do better than they did. Every mother wants to see the same thing. I've done better than my father. My father's done better than his father. And hopefully your children will do better than you. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a little parable that was shared 2,000 years ago that is still applicable today in 2021. That's what I love about the Bible. And you know, our Heavenly Father is also portrayed in this account. A God who waits patiently for His children to return. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't scold us. But rather, He embraces us when we return to Him and we repent of poor choices and the mess-ups that we may have made in our lives. It's a beautiful image, church, of a waiting and looking God, waiting for His children to come home. I want to just encourage you, we're sons and daughters too, you know. No matter how old you are, how young you are. And if we ever mess up, I know you guys never messed up in your lives. I could see your holy faces. But if you ever mess up, you always have a waiting Heavenly Father to embrace you, to come home. You believe it?
I believe it.
Amen. Amen.